I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. Enron was eliminated to include their code of ethics. But what was really going on, and then I'll shut up about Enron, was that the board was often waiving their own code of ethics to allow these deals to go through because they were so intoxicated with short-term gains that would boost the stock price. And everybody's compensation was tied to stock price.
Yeah, you know, I think that Elizabeth Warren has talked about introducing something about some sort of corporate accountability program that...
You talk, so we should both slow down a little.
Yes. About some sort of corporate accountability program where you can't use... Your money has to sit for a little while before you put it in stock buybacks. I feel like this stock buyback thing is just going to short-circuit our economy.
I mean, it already has. I don't remember the numbers, but the big tax cut that Trump passed, a huge amount of that tax cut for corporations... they use for stock buybacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the largest corporate buybacks have happened because of that tax cut.
Stock buybacks. By corporations, yeah.
Yeah.
And all that does nothing for economic growth. It just elevates...
It's no investment.
It's economics 101. It restricts the amount of supply so that demand curve gets pushed to a higher price.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing. Well, if your corporate salary is based on how well the stock price is doing, that's a good reason to do that.
Sure. So here we are barnstorming.
Yes.
Is this the beginning? Welcome to barnstorming.
Yeah, welcome to barnstorming. Here we are. This is one of the Sangria series.
That's right. A little Easter egg for our listeners.
Yes. And this is, we're doing a...
drinking sangria.
We're drinking sangria, correct. And
we're eating a
chocolate.
Little bit of... What do you think of this chocolate?
A little crunchy for me.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's got orange bits in it. They are quite crunchy.
Yeah, I thought it was good. But
Really hear me opening the wrapper.
Yeah.
This is that kind of plastic. This is... You don't want to hear this if you're in the theater.
Yeah. No, that would be annoying. Anyway, we're doing a, you know, I know that we've joked about this before in our last midterm episode about not fast food journalism.
Artisanal podcasting.
Artisanal podcasting.
Brain to mouth.
Yes, exactly. Brain to ear.
Brain to ear.
Brain to ear.
I think we did mix of your metaphors. I think we did the same, this exact same sequence the last time we recorded this.
Yeah. But anyway...
So
here it is again.
So do you want to explain? We're re-recording this.
This is a re-record. We had recorded it on a podcast. Podcasting app where you can record via long distances. For some reason, maybe it was our fault, maybe it was their fault.
Hard to say.
It didn't work out.
the gods of podcast fortune were not smiling upon us.
No, and we can't recover that.
Just even if we could, it's just easier to redo it.
Yeah, the amount of time that we spent on it now.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
but
here we are.
Here we are.
It's sort of a midterm recap because with the way that the news cycle goes these days.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's worth going back and saying,
yeah.
Hey, look, let's revisit actually what happened. What, 4 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
No less.
November to December, December to January, January, February. So 3.5 months.
Three and a half months ago?
Not that long.
And honestly...
Not that long.
Not that long ago. And
I'm going to say not that long again.
Yeah. And you know, it's easy to get lost in the election cycle. And it's and we probably have a better feel of how it actually went now than we did three months ago when everybody else was doing their midterm recaps.
That's right.
But we've listened to all those.
Like a great wine, ours is best enjoyed after some aging.
Yes. So without further ado, we're doing a bracket series of...
Ado. I've always wanted to do this to somebody.
This is certainly part of the Sangria series.
Okay,
but some of Jordy's best things have come out of sangria.
Elijah, don't listen. This will be a test if he ever listens.
Yeah. Elijah, message your dad if you hear this.
He'll be our Spencer. You know Spencer on Love It or Leave It.
Yeah, exactly. Our Spencer.
So,
without further ado.
Yeah, are you going to explain what's going on? Okay.
So I'm going to give Jordy, we have four different categories.
It's a bracket.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to pick maybe, I don't know, you can actually pick your criteria for the one you pick. Whatever floats your boat at that moment. So, do you want me to introduce the four categories now? Or?
Whatever you want to do it.
Okay, so the four categories are the New South, Appalachia Rising, the Midwest, I don't have a funny name for that, and Feminist Rising, which...
I think the Midwest, just as the Midwest, is sort of a joke unto itself.
Yeah.
It comes with no hot sauce.
No, it comes with no hot sauce, yeah. You get what you get.
Yeah.
Can I
just want to give you like total props. This was totally your idea. I think it's so fun.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
I know, but I think we're going to be doing more brackets.
Well, we are.
Well, that's true.
I already made another one. We're definitely doing at least one more.
Okay.
All right, so we'll start with the New South.
All right.
Matchup number one.
Yes.
Gillum versus Abrams.
So Andrew Gillum ran for Florida governor.
Yes. Narrowly lost.
Hold on. Should we remind people? We've done no research for this.
Well, I mean...
Oh, you might have. I didn't.
I did this mostly from memory.
Right.
But I did look up a couple if I was struggling to come up with names.
So Andrew Gillum almost won for governor of Florida.
Very close.
And lost to that chump who was the Trump supporter.
DeSantis.
DeSantis. He had that ad where he was reading his poor kid... like hostage child DeSantis being read The Art of the Deal in this political campaign ad.
Yeah, awful, awful.
And
honestly, you know, there was some funny business with that election and with Stacey Abrams' election.
Stacey Abrams for sure. I haven't...
I don't know if...
She lost to Kemp, is that his name?
Yeah, I don't know if in a clean race where every eligible voter got to vote, they would have won.
Because there's two kinds of voter suppression. There's what happened a while ago that's been either institutional, like for example... changing when election, like making election, like early voting and how many polling places there are.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that, and then there's more overt where you hire a firm to come in and clean out names, and they use rules that they know will hurt underrepresented populations.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean,
so the question is, what's the more bitter loss, Andrew Gillum or Stacey Abrams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say Stacey Abrams because... and I'm full disclosure, I never watched her State of the Union response. I don't know why.
I did, actually. I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really tough. You get 10 minutes in response to whatever Trump had. I actually didn't listen to his.
I mean,
but
it's certainly kind of
really
the Scylla
and
Charybdis of political careers. If you look at Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal, and I think there's another one.
yeah.
Didn't Jeb Bush have a problem?
Marco Rubio.
Oh, Marco Rubio
yeah,
was
with the
needing
water
to
bottle.
Drink water.
Yeah. I don't know. I personally, I mean, granted, I'm predisposed to have liked Stacey Abrams, but I thought it was really inspiring. It talked about values, personal stories, and
right.
You know, it wasn't like it felt some of these times. Some of these responses. You just can't tell if they're a real person at all. But Stacey Abrams, I mean, you really got a sense of who she was.
I mean, I'm going to say Stacey Abrams is the more bitter defeat because it's close to my heart that she's been a voting rights activist for a long time. She's in the state legislature.
And then lost in a really narrow race where there were a lot of red flags.
Red flags, and her opponent was the Secretary of fucking State. And if you don't know, my cousin Sonia... I told her about this. The secretaries of state for people
run the elections.
They run the elections, and I can't, you know,
I can't think of a more conflict.
Yeah, of all the times, Brian Kemp should have recused himself from being the secretary of state when he's overseeing an election that he's running in. Like, how can that be...
For the highest office.
For the highest office in the state. It's got to be unethical. I'm sure it is. There's no question.
Well, I mean, yeah. How I mean, can it be I can illegal? Tell you that's unethical.
Yeah, but it should be illegal. I don't understand under either federal or state law how that could be. Secretaries of state should be completely above board. I mean,
yeah. All right, so...
Stacey Abrams.
So Abrams moves on.
Do you need a pen?
Yeah, I do. Well, I'll remember.
Okay.
So then we have...
And would you say the same thing?
I would have said the same thing.
And would your reasons be any different?
No, not really. Watch out for my word. So then the next one is Beto, who mm-hmm. needs no last name.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy McBath, who...
McGrath.
No.
McBath?
You're thinking of Amy McGrath.
Oh.
Lucy McBath beat Karen Handel in Georgia's 7th. Or Georgia's 6th.
Oh.
Where...
is this where John Ossoff lost?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the more bitter defeat?
Or whatever you want.
So wait a minute. McBath lost, O'Rourke lost.
No, McBath won beating Karen Handel
uh-huh.
in Georgia's 6th.
Right.
Which Ossoff tried to flip.
Uh-huh.
And failed.
So I've got a loss versus a win.
Yeah, so you can decide which...
Oh.
You're deciding the categories. Who advances?
Well, I should give Beto O'Rourke a fairer shake, but I just don't know a lot about him. I feel like he just appeared on my political radar. Beto O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke. What? Okay, he's from Texas. He raised a lot of money. He was in a band. I'm a little bit like, is this just fluff? Is he the next John Edwards? He's got nice hair and he talks pretty. I don't know. I don't actually know. And this is more of an anti-Beto thing.
Okay, so Lucy McBath.
Yeah.
I would have gone with the same thing.
Which category is this? New South?
New South, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and then we'll move on to categories and we'll go through the...
Hope this generates a lot of hate mail from, like, we need some attention.
I haven't gotten hate mail in so long, and it's, you know...
I miss it.
I really miss my hate mail. I used to get it every Friday on WKOK.
Oh, right, right.
It wasn't really hate mail, but...
It was actually civilly disagreeing?
It's not like I got letters mailed to me, you know, with cutout pieces of paper. You know, go fuck yourself. You know, it was...
Okay.
It was slightly more.
We should later talk about how we define hate mail.
I don't know. Yeah, a later episode. Okay, so next category is feminist rising.
Feminist rising.
We have AOC versus Pelosi.
Right. Nancy Pelosi won, obviously. Did she have a challenger?
Well, no. I mean, but Pelosi emerges as the Democratic leader,
uh-huh.
retakes the Senate, wins 40 seats.
Didn't retake the Senate.
Or it retakes the House.
Okay. 40 seats.
40 seats or something like that. And then AOC.
Look, this is obviously, we're recording this later, and I can't remember if it was an episode we put up. You know, I was one of the people who always said that I think the Democrats could use some new leadership. And
Nancy Pelosi's been kicking ass.
Well, can I stick to my guns before you smack them out of my hands?
Yeah.
She's been doing a good job, but I still think that some combination of Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and the number three, whose name is escaping me, James Clyburn, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, like, you've got, like, I think this is one of these cases where, like, with presidents and the economy, where they get too much credit when it goes well and too much blame when it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
The whole House conference is doing a great job, and I don't think it's only Nancy Pelosi. So,
yeah.
Is she doing a good job? Yes. Would I have been happier if one of those three over 77-year-old Democratic leaders had been replaced with somebody?
Jeffries, actually, I think is...
And he's not one of the top three.
He's not one of the top three, but he's taken on some leadership.
Okay. Roles. I just...
AOC?
Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, AOC, not to take anything away from Nancy, but just to highlight...
For those who don't know, Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
Right. That... I think that she's media savvy, she doesn't take shit from the right-wing noise machine, and she's also been smart and savvy in many ways, and like kind of threading the needle between using her fame and also, and using both her power as a congressperson and also like being a part of the the Democratic House, but also pushing it. Like, that's my impression. And I'll give you an example for being smart. I saw this one video of her. Video of her with people.
Puppy?
No, that's a good video too. No, this is her doing policy work. She was talking to like good government groups like CREW, Common Cause, and she said she was trying to point out. She wasn't trying. She was effectively pointing out how corrupt our political system is.
Oh, I saw that. I mean, yeah. I think millions of people saw that video.
Yeah, yeah. It's about a two or three. We'll put it in the show notes. About a 2 or 3 minute clip, and she goes through this. If I were the most malicious kind of political actor, could I run without campaign limits? Could I work on legislation from people who had donated to my campaign? And all the witnesses said yes. And it was a brilliant 90 seconds. And so I'm not taking anything away from Nancy Pelosi. I will also say I wanted to see more leadership. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a more exciting win.
Okay.
What about you? You like old school stuff.
I do like old school stuff. I probably would have gone with AOC too.
Then? But versus now?
I don't know. I mean, I do have to say I was pretty happy with the way that the shutdown happened, and I'm really glad that Nancy Pelosi stuck to her guns.
Again, she led her whole conference to stick to its guns.
That's true. Nancy Pelosi...
People are going to be like, you're not a feminist, blah, 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 whatever. Bring it on. I welcome your hate.
Yeah, well, we're picking between AOC and Pelosi, so there's not really a...
Okay, I welcome your ageism comments.
Yeah. I would have... I'm really excited that AOC is in the delegation and that she's taking up leadership roles and pushing for a more progressive party. Mm-hmm. The next one is Ariana Pressley versus Deb Haaland.
So this is losses.
No, both of them won.
Oh, I'm thinking of the woman in Pennsylvania who was in Barringer. I'm thinking of Ariana Barringer.
Who was running
for lieutenant. Okay. Ariana Pressley,
she won a congressional seat up in Massachusetts.
Right.
I think she's the first African-American
woman.
That's a part of the Massachusetts delegation.
Right. And what's up with that, Massachusetts?
Yeah, come on.
You can't very well be a boogeyman for the right and not have some, you know, have more a more racially diverse congressional
delegation.
Yeah,
exactly. They're too busy sending Kennedys.
nice.
And then Deb Haaland is one of the first Indigenous American congressional.
Oh, right.
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
I think she actually used to be the New Mexico chair of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
But she has taken the Santa Fe seat, I guess.
I'm obviously deeply, deeply shallow. Can I say that? Intensely shallow, my knowledge base. I think that Deb Haaland is... also LGBTQ?
No, I think you're thinking of Charisse Davids.
Okay. One of the other new...
Yeah,
Native
they
American.
Both got elected at the same time.
I'm going to go Deb Haaland just because...
That's cool.
I mean...
Not cool. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know what I would have picked.
Okay, I have a slightly better reason than just randomness.
Yeah.
I was listening to a really great podcast, In Our Time, by the BBC, and it was British scholars talking about the Mexican-American War, which I realized I know very little about.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
that. It seems so important in setting up the Civil War and other things, but one of the things they mentioned was that when all of this land that was Mexico's went to the United States, it compounded greatly the violence directly and indirectly against Native people. So
yeah.
This has been on my mind.
You know, I might have picked Deb Haaland too because, I mean, they're both really cool, obviously, and I expect great things from both, but Indigenous Americans are vastly underrepresented in power and it's not like African-American women are as well, but...
If you're going to have an underrepresented Olympics, which is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
More glass ceilings are being cracked with her.
Yeah, exactly. And I also follow her on Instagram and stuff like that. And she has a pretty good,
All right.
I don't know, good presence on social media, and I like seeing what she has to say.
I will say, I think Ariana's a beautiful name, just out of the blue.
Yeah. Ariana Presley.
It's a great name.
Yeah. The Midwest.
The Midwest.
So, first, we have Abby Finkenauer. Mm-hmm. I think I'm saying that right.
Are these really the ones we did before?
No, I changed it.
Oh. You jerk.
I don't have any way to go back and look, and it's in a different notebook. So, Abby Finkenauer.
Oh, so hard to find.
First, Rashid Tlaib.
Rashid Tlaib?
Yeah, Rashid Tlaib. Which I'm probably not saying either of their names.
Tlaib is from Minnesota.
No, Tlaib is from
Wisconsin.
Michigan, actually.
Okay.
And Finkenauer won the Northeast Iowa seat.
Oh. You know, I love me some Northeast Iowa.
You know, that's actually where I worked for Bernie, Northeast Iowa.
Uh-huh. Just always gotta name drop that, huh?
Yeah.
I'm kind of drawing a blank here. Why don't you tell me?
Both of them are cool. Yeah, I don't know. I probably would have.
Wait, is Rashid Tlaib the one who told that we're gonna impeach this motherfucker?
Yeah.
All right, her.
Her, yeah. Yeah, she's pretty badass. The other one is Ilhan Omar versus Sharice Davids.
And who's Sharice Davids?
Sharice Davids is
Davids
mm-hmm. is the other indigenous.
And
she's also a queer MMA fighter too.
Oh my god!
It's really cool.
I remember this from the last one. I mean, that is really tough, and
No one's
a loser here. I mean,
no one's a loser.
I mean,
yeah.
These are all like. You know, we're celebrating all of them in a way by talking to them. I'm going to say Ilhan Omar because I think there's probably no identity group in America that it's more okay to hate now than Muslims and especially Muslims. I'm pretty sure she always covers her head, right? That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know about that. No, she does. She does. She does.
Oh, if it's the most acceptable group to hate.
Yeah, I feel like, in general.
I mean, it's hard to measure, but
yeah,
you know, what are we going to measure by number of hate crimes or number of white people who would use an epithet? I don't know, but for whatever.
It's really cool.
It's super cool.
I like Ilhan a lot,
and
I think. Yeah, I don't know. We should maybe say something about the
Benjamins.
The Benjamins comment. I don't know if I have anything original to say about it.
I don't know
if I'm not particularly bothered by it.
I also will say, I don't know if I've researched all the facts. Here's what I know. Someone criticized AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, on Twitter. She said, yeah. Somebody said, why did they do, you know, why did Congress or somebody agree with AIPAC? And she said, it's about the Benjamins. And suddenly, the Twitterverse and the talking heads were exploding. That she
AIPAC is not contributing vast sums of money to politicians to influence
their... This is a personal gripe of mine, is that in liberal politics, in any politics in America, that somehow it's become, if you criticize AIPAC or Israeli government policies...
You're criticizing all Jews.
That you're criticizing all Jews
and
being anti-Semitic. And I'm sorry, I
a vast number of American Jews are not with...
Even if all the American Jews were with AIPAC... We as a country or as individuals, not we as a country, I'm sorry, we as individuals is what I really mean, can disagree with the policies of Israel, the state.
Yeah.
You know, they're deeply flawed and they're
really conservative.
And Netanyahu seems in no way interested in
BB,
you know, I don't want to call him that, seems in no way interested in an actual, you know, peace talk. And I can say that, and it can still be true that there's a history of Palestinian terrorism and...
But all that being
all
said,
that, so
maybe she was not the best messenger to start talking about how AIPAC is really destroying, I don't know, a reasonable conversation that should be had amongst American politicians about the state of Israel and their politics right now.
I think if we want to get to a place, I'd like to get to where we can be open about prejudice and different kinds of isms, racism, and whatever, we need to be more open about this. To decide that some people are or aren't messengers because of their identity I feel like reinforces the worst of quote-unquote identity politics. So
yeah, that's true.
All right.
So next we're going with Appalachia Rising.
Yeah.
So we have Amy McGrath versus Richard Ojeda.
So these are losses, man. I mean, Ojeda,
maybe I'll just say we had some really cool Democratic resurgence in Appalachia,
mm-hmm.
Broadly,
mm-hmm.
An area that Democrats have won in traditionally, but lost in maybe the last 10 years or so pretty heavily. So it's cool to have this resurgence. So
yeah.
McGrath versus Ojeda.
Mm-hmm.
And but both of these people, I should say, are being
like to say what you think.
talked about for Senate, Amy McGrath for Kentucky and Richard Ojeda for West Virginia Senate in 2020. So
here's what I think.
Okay,
I'm
it's
waiting
really
for you to cut
you.
Me off again.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. you go for it.
No, you go first.
No. I said everything.
No, I mean who is the harder loss for you? Come on.
I mean, they're both. I was personally more invested in Ojeda's race.
We both were.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast.
We crushed on him.
Yeah, although we spelled his name wrong in the episode, we'll have to go back and fix that. We said Danny Ojeda.
Oh,
Richard Ojeda.
Oops. Well, the last name we got right.
Yeah.
Because you might confuse him with the other Ojedas from West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. The other Ojeda running for Congress in West Virginia.
They're like the Kennedys of Appalachia, West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
Ojeda.
I think some people I know who are liberal progressive freak out that he was
like
a Trump voter. And I'm like,
he's a good messenger.
He's a good...
Well, there we go again.
I don't want to just walk into the trap I set up. But he, you know, I think... regardless of the fact that he's a white man, the fact that he can talk about Trump's populism and how it was appealing and then how he realized it was faux populism, that is a powerful message, whoever you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and it does, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I think we agree with a lot of people, you know, on our team, as it were, complaining about people who voted for Trump and saying they're racist and stupid and whatever, wait for them to do something racist. Stop assuming that they are, because a lot of them believed, you know, they believed the con man. And, you know, there's
a lot of people did.
I feel like
there was a lot. Let me finish. Okay.
That American history is littered with heroes and con men. It's like woven into our national culture. And this might be one of the greatest con men ever. You know,
yeah. I'm trying to think of another.
Con men are successful because they con.
Yeah.
If he were a failed con man, he wouldn't have gotten that far.
And Donald Trump.
He's a very successful.
He's
con man.
He's a very successful con man. He's been doing it for years.
Yep.
So I'll circle Ojeda for that one.
All right. So are we down now to
one more?
Oh, sorry.
So John Fetterman versus Phil Bredesen, which I can never.
Bredesen. The guy from Tennessee.
Yeah.
No, I mean, come on, Fetterman.
Of course.
Friend of the pod.
He's a friend of the pod, although he should retweet that episode.
Yeah, he really should retweet that episode.
If you're listening.
Bobby Maggio said he would. I think we might have dropped the ball on the last one. It's a little late now, his interview. I don't know. Now it's historical. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. So we've got some...
So now what are our matchups?
So we've got the New South.
Uh-huh. Which is what? Who won that?
Well, we had to do one more round.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so
I apologize.
So we're going to go back to the New South, and we'll say, you know, I'm really excited by this. You can see some really cool movement down there. We're seeing Texas as a battleground, Georgia as a battleground. I mean, Florida's sort of slipping as a battleground, but...
away from being a battleground.
Away from, and more towards leaning towards the Republicans, but
that's interesting.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Let's not dig into it now.
Yeah. North Carolina, Virginia, those are battlegrounds.
Wait, on side notes, about Virginia. I grew up in Tennessee in the 80s. I was in high school in the 80s with Northam.
You weren't in high school with Northam.
No, I was not in high school in Northam, but I am from the South from roughly the same time period. And I just want to say... it never even crossed my mind or anybody I knew, even the more conservative. Like, I had people I went to high school with who thought it was cool to fly a Confederate flag. No one ever talked about wearing blackface or KKK robes as a joke or costume parties. There were some really horribly inappropriate things that happened in my high school in Knoxville, Tennessee, and this never, I don't, this idea that like all unthinking white people were running around, you know, like,
dressing in blackface in the South.
Wearing
the 80s.
Blackface. Maybe in Virginia, but not in Tennessee.
So, going back, the New South, an exciting new coalition. We've got some cool battleground states coming up. I'm certainly hoping to see a competitive 2020 Senate race in Georgia, and I want to see a lot of Democratic organizing there. Hopefully we can peel these states away. So, with that, Abrams versus McBath.
So,
Stacey Abrams versus...
I feel like you've made this hard for me, because I'm comparing a win to a loss. So, it's what's a more bitter loss versus what's a greater win?
Yeah, no, what are you feeling?
McBath won in the Ossoff seat.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to say that, because, you know, they got to pick... They elected somebody who got to run as an incumbent.
Yeah.
And then that person got knocked off. And so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that was a hard seat. That's Newt Gingrich's old seat.
I mean, come on. That's clearly like Abrams has gotten more attention, especially with the State of the Union.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say
she's pretty cool.
No, she's totally cool. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Lucy McBath won a tough race.
A tough race in Newt Gingrich's old seat, which was the heart. I mean, Newt Gingrich is the new South back in the 90s.
I worked in Georgia's sixth.
That's
a tough. It's very suburban, very wealthy.
No, I think that's a more heartening win than her loss.
Yeah. Okay. So, Lucy,
what about you?
I probably would have gone with Abrams.
Uh-huh.
Just because I think...
No, I think it's cool. We'll have different brackets. So, you're Abrams, I'm
Well,
Beth.
I mean,
right,
it's your bracket. So, next, Feminist Rising.
Mm-hmm.
AOC versus Deb Haaland.
I mean, AOC.
Okay, yeah. What I would have picked
to. The little bit I knew about her, like from the primaries and running, I was impressed. And now that I've seen her in action and seen how she's redefining
the
political media.
I wonder about all the people that were criticizing her, the establishment Democrats, about knocking off Joe Crowley. I mean, she's definitely a better asset than Joe Crowley was. Like, I never once heard anything about Joe Crowley.
That's right.
Ever.
I had no idea who he was.
I had
she
no
idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But,
she's 29, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely a better asset at the party.
If the House of Representatives in some way is supposed to represent the people than the stuffy Senate.
Yeah.
She's a 29-year-old Latina college graduate who, you know, went into this shitty economy and had to do different things. I don't know.
I think
she
was a waitress or a bartender.
Some, and she talked about maybe she would have been a teacher if she didn't win for Congress. But when I've heard her speak a few times,
she worked for Bernie in 2016.
But she's smart. She's articulate. She connects to people. She has a clear sense of values. And the criticisms that I see thrown against her, either by talking head Republicans or by some old stuffy crusty Democrats, just seem so tone deaf to where the country is and to where the electorate is and to what America should be. I mean, you know, we're the country of like rock and roll and new things, and they're freaking out because, you know, she has the audacity to like shake things up. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
And she looks great in white.
Yeah. So next we have the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
Ilhan Omar versus Rashid Tlaib.
Ilhan Omar for the same reasons I said.
Okay.
Although they're both Muslim, so.
Yeah, I'm different. Both you and I are Minnesota people, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
For that reason alone, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. Next we have Appalachia Rising, Ojeda versus Fetterman.
I mean Fetterman.
Yeah. Friend of the pod.
It's more than that. It's also somebody who.
He won too.
He won. You know, but. You know, Fetterman is I think he's from a small town in Western PA, which is a lot like Central
PA.
Well,
he's not from there.
Well, I mean, he ran from there.
Yeah.
But he is someone who has been.
He's from York.
Right.
Yeah.
He's actually from York. Right.
Yeah. Which is so funny that Wolf.
Liked him.
No, both Wolf, Wagner, Scott Wagner,
oh, that's
and
right.
Fetterman were from York County.
So this was a York County.
It was a York County centric.
I would say pissing contest.
Yeah.
No, I mean Fetterman is a little bit RAOC, right? He's media savvy. He's a breath of fresh air. He changes. Don't you think he's changed tropes about politics the way he
and you know, I'm a.
And I will tell you, I have met him, and I say this with all love and respect. He's a triumph of work over charisma, of hard work. I mean, he is not the most natural politician I've ever met.
No, certainly
face to face. He's very good on communicating in social media. He's very good at message, but he's not. He is no Joe Biden. He is no backslapper.
No. He works hard, and you can tell. And,
and he's smart.
And his family's great. I'm firmly, you know.
I'm chained to Fetterman.
I'm really happy he's our lieutenant governor. And he's going on the marijuana listening tour right now.
Yeah.
I was about to say he's going on the marijuana tour right now. But
it's a great listening
tour. That's sort of what I'm
but
doing.
Nobody can remember anything.
No one remembers what happened after the end of it.
The Cheeto supplies in Pennsylvania are way low.
Dangerously low, yeah. not Cheetos, Middlesworth.
Oh, the chips.
Yeah.
I like a good Cheeto.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's more PA if it was Middlesworth.
All right. So what are we at now?
Okay. So now we have the New South versus Feminist Rising. We have Lucy McBath versus AOC.
AOC.
AOC, of course.
You're the same?
Yeah.
You had Abrams. So if we had yours, if it was Abrams v. AOC.
Still would have picked AOC. Maybe Abrams, though, actually, because I really do think she has a bright future in Democratic politics and in...
But, I mean, the ball's in her court. She's in the state house in Georgia, right?
I don't know if she is anymore, actually. I think she might have not done that in order to run for governor.
Right.
But she has a new organization that's dedicated to voting rights.
Real quick, maybe this will tease our next bracket thing, but, you know, I feel like this question comes up, like, Peter Begalevich or...
Buttigieg. Buttigieg.
That booty. So he's a mayor of a not big place.
South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, it's not a big place. Okay.
Well, you know.
It's not a big place. Okay, it's not the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean, Notre Dame's there.
Dude, it's a town of like 30,000 or a city.
Oh, it's much more than 30,000.
Whatever. It's not Chicago.
It's not Chicago, yeah.
But no one has
the
been
third
elected.
Biggest city in America.
No one has been elected president of the United States. And their most prior political experience was mayor of a city less than a million. No one has been elected president who most immediate prior job was a mayor, come to think of it.
I can't think of anybody.
I mean, we'd have to check it. But
yeah.
So my point is, you've got people, you know, I feel like people said Abrams for president or AOC for sure.
I mean, definitely Abrams for president.
Abrams.
But I don't think AOC.
People for sure are saying Beto. Beto O'Rourke. What is Beto? Beto O'Rourke has been a congressman. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he lost. I'm just like. What I'm trying to say is, what do you think? Do you
think
it matters how much experience you have? Like,
well, yeah, I do, of course.
So, Booty Love. What's his name? Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
So Buttigieg is he quote unquote qualified to run? Is AOC? Is Stacey Abrams? Is Beto O'Rourke?
Well, I mean, I think of all of them, Beto O'Rourke and Pete Buttigieg are actually no. I think Beto O'Rourke is maybe least qualified to run for president
compared to Abrams. Even
I think Abrams. I mean, wasn't she the minority leader of?
Don't know.
I think she was the minority leader of the Georgia Senate or something like that. I mean, that's not for nothing. You've got to manage some pretty tough coalitions. And at least Pete Buttigieg has executive experience, and South Bend, Indiana is not a small town.
Oh, for God's sakes. Keep talking.
I don't know. I'm really firmly...
So you think they're all qualified enough?
I think they're all qualified enough, but I have serious doubts about Beto.
Why him?
It's just like... So now you get to run for president because you... almost won Texas Senate. Like that seems to be his best qualification.
But I feel like you could slot Stacey Abrams. You're qualified to run for president because you almost won governor of Georgia.
I think that her job was prior experience was maybe more intense.
There are 100,000 people in South Bend.
Yeah.
That's not a big place.
It's not 30,000.
Whatever.
I haven't been mayor of a town of 100,000.
No.
The
mayor
may be
a weak mayor in Indiana.
It's not like all of them aren't that qualified.
I probably sound like I'm saying none of them are qualified, and I actually think the qualification question is a red herring. I think how they run their campaign probably tells me more about your qualification to be president, because to run if any four of them runs a relatively successful presidential campaign, does well in primaries, whatever, starts to scale up. The level of administrative experience, so if you want to talk about executive experience, I think running a presidential campaign is more like being a president than having been the mayor of a big city or governor of a state.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Or at least closely equivalent.
I hope that Beto runs for Senate again. I've seen polls that show him and John Cornyn pretty close. And I think it's worth a redo.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he does that.
All right.
So you're AOC. So now we have...
I thought we were going to do a new...
No, we haven't finished the bracket yet.
What's left?
We have three more... We have Appalachia Rising versus the Midwest.
Oh, I thought AOC won the whole bracket. Okay, all
no,
right.
No,
sorry.
No.
Oh, my God.
Appalachia Rising versus the Midwest. We have John Fetterman versus Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar.
Oh, you've really set yourself up for a doozy of a
Is it
final.
AOC versus Ilhan, though?
Yeah.
I mean, do I need to say why, you know?
Well, you haven't said who.
Ilhan. But do I need to say why about that?
Ilhan versus AOC?
No. Why does Ilhan beat Fetterman, I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I mean, it's a federal race. She's breaking more barriers, all those things.
Okay. So Ilhan versus AOC.
Okay, AOC.
Why?
I would just be repeating what I said earlier. I mean,
okay.
I think she's done more with her newfound fame. I'm not, it's not even a fair comparison because I haven't seen Ilhan in action. I feel like I'm on a first name basis with her. I haven't seen Omar in action like I have AOC with that moment about elections. So,
okay. All right. Well, so
you?
That's the
AOC. Would you pick?
I would have picked AOC. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we basically confirmed the right wing's noise machine about liberals that we're all just...
We love AOC.
We love AOC.
Yeah. Oh, God.
AOC
yeah.
for president
yeah.
of the UN and the United States. New World Order. Simultaneously. We're coming for your guns.
I think she should also be president of the World Bank, too. yeah. We're coming...
So are we wrapping up this one?
Yeah. So that's the midterm bracket.
Recap. I think it's cool. I'll be curious. I hope we took some
engaged.
Strong positions. I want
feedback.
I want feedback. I would like to see people who argued other things.
Okay.
Okay. So give us your comments.
Yeah, let's
you know.
Get more sangria.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be for another episode.
Okay.
This one's wrapping up.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the valley, man. I've been everywhere, man. Trouble, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.